Last Sunday, Australia was shaken. An event of this kind taking place in a nation that provides refuge for people across the world and the Jewish people of Australia who have been incredibly used of God to bless this country. If you heard Josh Frydenberg's response, he spoke so eloquently, so crisply about the blessing of the Jewish people upon our nation. But the events of last Sunday in an iconic location, Bondi Beach, couldn't have been more alarming, more arresting. And in some ways it has arrested people. It's caused people to question what is going on. Well, it's all relevant because it ties in exactly with what Jesus said. What happened last Sunday was what Jesus told us is going to take place in this world. You know, all of us, I'm sure, I'm like you, we want to see the world become a better place. Well, Jesus has told us quite clearly it's not going to be a better place. It's actually going to get worse until he returns. That's what Jesus says. Sounds like a bad news message this morning. No, it's the truth. And the truth sets people free. Not trying to cover up things. You know, we celebrated the Lord's Supper just a few weeks ago, and Paul wrote in Corinthians, he received from the Lord that which also he delivered to the Corinthians, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come." Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, we have the advent of Christmas. But the salvation that Christmas presents to us is incomplete. It's incomplete because the salvation that Jesus Christ brings us is not only salvation from our sins. Praise God for that. But it's salvation from the evil of the world in which we live. To be saved from the corruption of this world, to be separated from this world, to be taken to heaven. And wherever Christianity loses that vision, it goes astray. You know, just a few weeks ago, we took Neville's ashes. Oh, last week, wasn't it? Last Sunday, or last Saturday, Saturday week ago. We took his ashes and we laid them in the ground. And I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul says, "If for this life only we've hoped in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied." Why would he say such a thing? Because the conflict that exists between the true believer, the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the devil and his activities in this world is real. And Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace on earth, but a sword." Christmas is a celebration of the coming of the Lord Jesus to this earth to save us from our sins. But the second advent of Jesus is to save us from the corruption and evil of this world. To bring us into the kingdom that he has established in our hearts, but which he is preparing for us in heaven. Now, of course, we celebrate Christmas with thanksgiving, with joy, with relief that our sins can be forgiven, that our hearts can be washed clean of corruption, that we can be changed to be different people. It's worthwhile spending a bit of time just reflecting on what you were like before you were born again. I often told my children what I was like before I was born again. They heard about all sorts of terrible things their dad did, because they needed to know that being born again of the Holy Spirit changes you. You become a different person. And last Sunday in Sydney, we were all reminded of the evil that is in this world. Satan and those who've yielded to his agenda. Jesus told us what that agenda was. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. But Satan is real. And Satan and those yielded to his agenda brought death to dear Jewish people celebrating Hanukkah. What an interesting celebration Hanukkah is. You know, Hanukkah celebrates the time when the temple had been taken possession by the Greeks and finally had been rescued by the Maccabees, but they didn't have enough oil in the lamp. How about that? Not enough oil to survive, and they didn't have the supply of oil, and the oil was going to run out in the temple. There was only one day's worth, but the lamp burned for 8 days. Interesting. Where did that oil come from? Miraculous provision of oil. Hanukkah is a celebration, really, of reminding a rededication of the temple, but the miraculous provision of oil in the lamp. How appropriate is that for the message I want to give you today? A new temple, miraculous oil, all celebrated just before Christmas, the birth of the one who is going to be the new temple, the Lord Jesus, tabernacled among us, who enables each one of us to receive miraculous oil in our lamps. Advent is what we're celebrating at this time of year. Advent, the arrival, the coming. It's a season of prayer, reflection. This is the AI-generated definition of Advent. It's a Christian season of prayer, reflection, and preparation for Christmas, marking the start of the liturgical year and looking forward to both Jesus' birth and future second coming. Now, when you go with your families and celebrate Christmas, I trust you will get a broader perspective and you will be beginning to talk about the second coming of Jesus. I don't think we've done that very much, have we? But that is what we're meant to be doing. In the face of the evils of the world in which we live, we are meant to reflect upon the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He is coming. Praise God. You know, our salvation at the cross of Jesus is most wonderful. Freeing from the guilt and shame of sin, released from condemnation, able to find peace with God in this world. But when you find peace with God in this world, you will not find peace on earth. Because just as Jesus was born of the Spirit of God, the powers of darkness in this world were generated against, stirred up against the coming of heaven to earth. You know, I sometimes reflect upon praying for revival. And sometimes in our minds we have this idea that praying for revival is going to bring such a lovely, comfortable, you know, atmosphere of peace. Praying for revival is going to stir up Satan like we have not known. Stephen stoned to death. James had his head chopped off. The reality is there is a conflict between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world in which we live. And when we lose sight of this, we fail to fulfill our calling as Christian people. And we fail to realize the need of the resources necessary to stand in the evil times in which we are living. Jesus taught his disciples extensively about his second coming. He gave warning about the kind of world that we should anticipate. And when we read the passages, we sometimes want to try and flip over to the next page. Because the circumstances of the world which Jesus describes is so alarming. In Matthew 24, Jesus sat down on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." Now, be assured of this. Anyone who claims to declare when Jesus is coming exactly is leading you astray. Anyone. Because Jesus himself told us that only his Father knew the day of his coming. Not even he knows. Anyone who claims to say, "Oh, he's coming, look at the signs, he's coming on the 27th of March 2026. They're leading you astray. And most people who generate, and we'll look at this in a moment, who generate in the minds and hearts of believers fear, and I trust that although this message will bring a sense of alarm, it should not bring fear, because God wants you and me to be filled with the antidote of fear. And what is that? Love is the antidote of fear. But you see, fear is a real thing. When you saw what took place on Bondi Beach last Sunday, what was the natural response you would have, particularly if you were a Jewish person? The natural response is fear. And Satan's currency is fear. Understand this. The devil's currency is fear. He is seeking to bring all of you and me into a state of fear. And that can be very real. I can tell you when I was threatened with my life, challenging the Masonic movement, I used to think, you know, people driving by will shoot me or something like this. Fear is a real emotion, a real feeling. But God has got an antidote for this fear. And this is what he wants you and me to know. And the importance of this is so real as we look at the passage that we had read to us in our Bible reading today about the 10 virgins. Jesus says, because lawlessness will be increased. And did you hear about Morty Alec last week here in Melbourne? 200 young people storming a Woolworths supermarket, ransacking it here in Melbourne. 200. The police had to shut down the supermarket. Realise these things are happening. Lawlessness will increase. Jesus said so. The love of many will grow cold. Why is that? Because fear will become the currency. Okay? Fear is going to be the currency of the world. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, lawlessness will be increased. Jesus said so. So we can be assured that lawlessness will be increased. Why? Because Jesus said so. He never tells a lie. And why is lawlessness being increased? Well, I'll tell you one foundational reason. Marriage across the world has been decimated in the last 20 to 30 years in nearly every country. The destruction of godly marriage as a foundation for society has been challenged in the very laws of nations. And God, when he set up authority in the beginning, gave authority to the man and the woman in a marriage bond. And be assured of this, God's authority is exercised through the marriage bond under God. And wherever that marriage bond is disfigured, if the man fails to take up his role as the head of the home, if the woman fails to submit to her husband because she is actually showing forth the position of law-keeping, yieldedness, coming under authority, not rebelling against authority. Wherever that is corrupted, parental authority over children starts to break down, and we have the society in which we're living today. And it is spreading across the world. And Jesus said lawlessness will increase. Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many. As lawlessness increases, so fear increases. The currency of Satan, as I said, is fear. But God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus, has dealt with our sins to bring us into fellowship with the Father, who is behind me. What does it say there? I can't hear you. God is love. He is the source of all true love. And connected to God, we can receive this love. And we need to. In order to overcome fear, you need to have the antidote. Most men's love will grow cold. And this is why Jesus gave the story of the 10 virgins. In Matthew 25, he says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. There was an expectation in these people that the bridegroom was coming. Have you got that expectation? Are you living with that expectation? Or are you living for the things of this world? Be careful. The expectation of these is to meet the bridegroom, to go into the wedding. Do you know, Russell, could you put up that slide about the bridegroom is coming? I love this picture because, you know, when you have a wedding and a bridegroom, you have a bride. And every bride that I have ever talked to, particularly in recent years, spends so much time and money getting themselves into a state which will be perfect on that day for their wedding. And in one sense, I think, you don't need to spend so much money. But the heart is to be ready, isn't it? And that message is really good for you and me. Are we, as Christian people, with the expectation that a bridegroom is coming for us, preparing ourselves in such a way to be ready? Well, five of these virgins were foolish. And Jesus is making the contrast between the foolish and the wise for a specific reason. He's going to point to one issue, isn't he? Oil in your lamp. Oil in your lamp. The foolish took their lamps but took no oil, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. I wonder if you're struggling with sleep, even through the message this morning. Be assured of this. The devil wants to put you to sleep. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the moment of great conflict between the satanic forces of this world, what did the disciples end up doing? It's not easy to stay awake. You need God to equip you to stay awake. You actually need oil in your lamp to stay awake. You'll fall asleep otherwise. They were drowsy and slept. But at midnight, and interesting, Jesus is telling this story. At midnight, at the dark time, when things are really dark, the cry went out, "The bridegroom has come." And I think Jesus is giving us an indication that his coming is going to come when things are really bad. Come out to meet him. Now, I know certain brides that have talked to me in preparing for their wedding, if they thought their hair wasn't quite right or they're, "Oh no, I'm not ready." Well, let's take hold of that and reflect on our own lives. Are we dealing with the issues that might hinder our closeness of our walk with God? Are we full of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit free in us to bring God's thoughts to us, to guide us, to lead us? Or have we got our own agendas? Are we running to our own plans? Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather in dealers and buy for yourselves." Now, these foolish virgins actually do. They go out madly, trying to get the oil. Because later on we know they come finally to the banquet. But they weren't ready. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Notice they're calling him Lord. But notice what he says to them. "I do not know you." You know, friends, the only way I have known to receive the Holy Spirit is like one of these little children said, to go to Jesus and tell him the truth about yourself. The sin that so easily corrupts your heart. The need to confess and repent. The need to ask him to wash you clean. When is the last time you said sorry? That's a sure sign that you're dealing with the things in your heart. When is the last time you came before God and said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I've got distracted. I could see you wanted me on this path and I've followed things of the world. Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't pray. I should have prayed. Please forgive me." these ones, the Lord said, I don't know you. Watch, therefore, he says, watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Jesus is coming. Christmas is a reminder that he's come to save us from our sins, so we need to deal with them, to be ready for his coming. But he's coming. And as we celebrate Christmas, let us celebrate not just the one Advent, but the one yet to come. For as a dear Dutch lady who looked after Jewish people with passion said, the best is yet to be. For the Christian, the best of what we have been saved for lies ahead for us, not here on earth. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and come to me. All of you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, because he'll give you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwelling in you. You will have love in the face of fear. You will have the resources of heaven, the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faith and self-control. They're not something you can produce. They are produced by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us as we seek him and ask for him to fill us. So let us be a body of people with oil in our lamps, praying, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Amen.